I will be reading Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do great good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Look forward to hearing the sermon entitled A Masterpiece.
Thanks. So God's workmanship. Are we God's workmanship or are we a piece of work? I have to tell you, I got April's permission to use that title. I thought, is that too edgy or is that okay to use? But I hope by the end of the message, if you were feeling like, man, I'm a piece of work, that you'll begin to see yourself as God's masterpiece. So let's look at this message together, this scripture. When I growing up, going to camp, there's a song that we sang that I feel like is a good introduction to this scripture, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Maybe some of you know it. If I were a butterfly, I thank you, Lord, that I had wings, for giving me wings. If I were a robin in a tree, I thank you, Lord, that I could sing. If I were a fish in a sea, I'd wiggle my tail and giggle with glee. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. For you gave me a heart, you gave me a smile, you gave me Jesus, and you made me your child. I just thank you, Father, for making me me. So good introduction to the scripture that Paul will expand on that and to say even not just that we belong and we're cherished by God, but actually he has a purpose. We're created and recreated for a good purpose in Christ. But I don't want to just skip right ahead to verse 10. It's like the good news at the end. But there's something that a process that leads us to be this new creation. Paul starts this particular chapter in starting in verse 1, really describing us as the walking dead, you know, and that we go from this death to life, not only life, but, glory in the heavenly realms. But we're walking dead, not physically, but we're the walking dead in our relationship with God, walking apart from God and from God's purposes. In my 3-minute Wikipedia study of the show The Walking Dead, I realized that these zombies in that show were infected with some kind of pathogen that they could pass on to others and that you'd have to stay away from. For Paul, that pathogen in us that keeps us from life is that we're dead in our transgressions and our sins. And he goes on to explain that more fully. But I liked what one commentator said, that the biblical writers were comfortable with this paradox that we both voluntarily choose to disobey or to disregard God. But there are also spiritual forces at work that enslave us to sin, a power beyond ourselves. And I can attest to that from my own life. There's times when I can just clearly name the times that I understood maybe the poor choices that I was making. But other times, just being very aware of the power of sin, in which I need freedom beyond my own ability to be good. And Paul even mentions here the wrath of God coming against us, this God's anger at the havoc that the sin and this disobedience causes. And so out of that righteous anger, he chose to act, not to destroy us all, but to redeem us and to pour forth his righteousness again. One of our other scriptures for the day is John 3, you know, for God so loved the world that he came and he sent his son, not to condemn the world, but to redeem the world. And so that's where Paul goes with the rest of this particular scripture. We don't want to just gloss over. Those are very important truths in those first few verses that we have, by God's mercy, we can turn and find forgiveness and be freed from the old ways of living. But the key focus here is grace. You can see grace just saturating this particular scripture passage. Because of God's great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins. It's by grace you've been saved. Just give me a moment. My pages are off here. And so he not only talks about how by his grace that we've been forgiven, but he then describes how together with Christ, there's something new emerging. We are made alive together with Christ. We are raised up together with Christ. We're even seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You know, we have this place of heavenly royalty, this place of honor with Jesus. And if we, in a moment where I want to invite you to show off some of your created things that maybe some of you brought today. But if you think of something that you've made, one thing we might do with it is put it on a shelf or put it on a display, for everyone to see, you know, partly to be able to show your created work, but again, to display the glory of this thing that you made. And that's what Paul says here, that the Lord has done this in order that in coming ages he might show his comparable riches of his grace, like to show us off. Look at what I've done by my grace and by my creative hand. That's expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. But it seems like we aren't just redeemed and forgiven and made the workmanship of God in Christ just to somehow glory in the eternal realm or just to glory in how wonderful we are now because God has saved us. In Colossians 3, Paul says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above. And maybe here Paul isn't just painting a picture of us basking in this heavenly glory and royalty, but somehow as we set our mind on the things above, as we're seated with Christ, we're aligning ourselves with his purposes, the one who is the risen and ascended Lord, who reigns over all creation, who has good purposes and redeeming purposes for this world, that we're in those, metaphorically, in those heavenly realms, we're realigning ourselves with God and God's purposes in Jesus. I want us to think about that a little more by displaying some things. So this is going to kind of be an open-ended thing. I'm hoping people might come up, and either you can come up to the pulpit, or if you don't want to climb the steps, there's here, or we can have the roving mic. But I'd love to have you display, show us what you've created. And you can even share something if you'd like. And here's three things to think about. What I want us to get a sense of, the heart of God above as he's doing this, creative work of restoring us and making us new creations and God's handiwork. And us as the creators displaying this, we can begin to get a sense of God's heart. So three things to think about. If you want to share, what was the process like of creating this thing? Did you just get an idea and whip it out? Or was there a more difficult process? Secondly, how is it personal to you? How is your heart in this thing? And the third thing, what purpose? For what purpose did you create it? So it's good enough just for us to see what you created. But if you want to share a bit about a little bit behind that creation, love to hear that as well. And I actually asked Velma if you'd come forward for a moment. I already asked her a couple of things, so I just want to start with Velma. Yeah, could you bring that up? I should say while Velma's coming, this was a beautiful creation of music. You know, it doesn't have to be a tangible thing, but the music we heard this morning. So let's do this. I'll hold it.
Okay.
So, Velma, can you just describe what this is to us? Let me see it first. Okay.
It looks like an abstract to you, but it's based on my feelings of looking at nature. I tend to be a nature person, and a lot of my artwork is on that. But this was looking in my backyard when I lived in Leola and seeing different shadows on the trees in the back of the yard. And so while it doesn't have the trees, the other way I do it is this happened just a couple weeks ago when we had some snow at Brethren Village, and I looked out my window and saw it, and I have to do it. And then this one is also one that I did with trees. As you can tell, I'm kind of an outside person. Not that I always do, but it's a gift that God gave us. And looking at things differently through my training as an artist and my experience with other artists, it helps for me to honor God, because I pray and talk to him a lot while I'm doing my painting. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds funny and maybe not very religious, but I just feel like it's a way of communicating.
Yeah. And when you paint generally, do the ideas just flow out, and how easily do you create? Or is it a lot of back and forth?
Well, it's not that easy sometimes, because you start with something and then sometimes all of a sudden you realize that's not the idea that I'm feeling, or it's not what I should be doing with this particular skill. Yeah. And I don't do it because I want to show off my skill. It's a way of communicating. Mm-hmm. And to be truthful, for me, it's a lot of spiritual communication with the art that I do. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then,
so expression.
Yeah, it's like when you read some of the scriptures, in my mind, I'm visualizing things that either I painted or that I'm feeling about nature. And so when I try the two different styles of trees, I'm seeing what God gave us, not what I decided, because these are both things that I actually observed and was right there doing.
Good. All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Can I put this up here? That was kind of a special interview. You don't feel like I have to say all that when I come up, if you want to show something. I'll show this quick. I spent a little time at Gracie's on Main, and there's always, in Leola, they always have stuff written on the wall. You are allowed to be both a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time. Thought that was a helpful statement. Anybody else want to show something?
That is a rug that I made from all my dresses that I used to wear when I was driving the horse and buggy. And my dresses reached my ankles, plus all my dresses on the skirt, I also wore an apron on front, the same color as the skirt. And so these were long pieces that I then had learned how to braid rugs, and I sewed them together into a rug.
Right.
So those are all my dresses.
Yeah.
So what do you wear now?
Well, these are just some of them. About half of them, about 40 or 50 of these old-time dresses,
yeah.
I sent to Missouri. A relative was in here visiting, and my relatives, my brother and nephews in Missouri, took those skirts, cut them up, and made little dresses for their children.
Okay. Who else has something to show?
My creation you see every Sunday. I made that when our church was going through a painful time, and I wanted to somehow convey that beauty can come through brokenness.
Thank you.
I have a lathe which I enjoy using sometimes. This is a rattle I made. Turning on a lathe can be relaxing, although it often isn't relaxing until you're done. Because when you're turning something like this, sometimes I have three rattles, sometimes this one has two, sometimes I end up with one, and sometimes none. Depending how that chisel hits, the thing just goes into a bunch of pieces. And I will admit, at times like that, I do not say praise the Lord. But when you get a nice finished product, it's just so nice to feel the smoothness and look at the grain of the wood. And God created that stuff.
When we think of ourselves as God's handiwork, it's not always just a nice, smooth process like that either.
So I made this, I think, a couple of years back. And I don't have much to say, but other than I wanted to try, you know, circular things and twisting things and all that. And you asked the question, what's the purpose, you know? And I was thinking about that. It's actually, the beauty of art is that it doesn't have a purpose. So it's not been created for really anything except, you know, the process of making it was part of kind of the purpose of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I brought some samples of some of the cards I've made. I myself like to receive cards. I know a lot of people don't send cards anymore. They just send an email, happy birthday or something. But I enjoy receiving cards, and so I make most of the cards that I give out, and these are just a couple of the samples of ones I've made.
Yeah, I thought, I was going to suggest we put up a table, we could put them on during the meal, then people could come check them out. I think that's good.
Mine is actually a work in progress. This is the beginning of a baby afghan. Actually, this one goes to Randy and Emily. But my sister is the pastor at New Holland Church. And Erica Shirk, I don't know if any of you know her, she used to go there. And she would knit baby afghans for the Union Community Care Center. And when she moved to California, my sister and a few others at the church said, now what happens to all those baby afghans that they need? So eight of us started crocheting baby afghans. We need to do about 400 a year. So if you do the math, that's about one a week for each of us. I'm falling behind this year. I think I have eight done so far. So as far as a purpose, it just... We get letters sometimes from some of the mothers that receive these. They're immigrants, low-income families who really aren't getting anything, and they get an afghan with a little matching cap. And we get letters from some of them through the Union Care, and just the appreciation that these women feel. We make really bright colors, very few typical baby blue and pink. That's something very United States. And so we make really, really bright colors, and they're the ones that go first, because a lot of these women come from cultures where color is really a main part of their life. And so we're having a lot of fun with different color combinations. My sister is the dealer. Whenever she sees a sale on yarn, she buys lots of yarn, and then the eight of us go there and buy our yarn from her for the sale price. They're about roughly $10 an afghan, and so when she can get it on sale, we do that. So for me, it's just a very relaxing thing. I do it when I watch TV. I do it when I travel in the car if somebody else is driving. I went to the Everett seminar the other night and crocheted during the workshops. So it's just something I do whenever I don't have anything else to do with my hands. It's what I do.
So a while ago, I made a little thing with, well, an elephant with some buttons and hot glue. It was pretty easy, but it's really fragile. If it goes in water, the hot glue and the buttons detach. It also has like a little bit of paper for the ears.
Nice, thank you. There's a trunk of buttons there.
Ruthann is the creative person in my family, but one of her things, of course, is creating a lot of kits for MCC. And when she first started doing it, she would put a safety pin cord and tie the yarn or put it through. And it was a process to get it through. So this is not an original idea of mine, but I have a dowel and shaved off to a point, put a hole through it, so we can put the cord through here, slide it through the other way. It saves a lot of time. It's useful. It's not pretty like Don's, but it's pretty good for me.
This is kind of really tough for me because I don't consider myself a very creative person. But then I began thinking through God and Marvin, I created a wonderful family. So that's a good creation, isn't it? But I did, a few years ago, make this old-fashioned type thing, and I had to ask Jan Mast what it's called. It's called a wool penny rug with the blanket stitch. I made this maybe 20 years ago, and I'm really proud of it.
I would say also I'm not a real creative person, but I'm fairly good at following directions. So I take other people's things. And one of the things I enjoy is crocheting. And I've made a lot of doilies over the years. And so they're not in vogue anymore. So they're still fun to do, though I haven't done it. But anyway, it came to I have some of my grandmother's doilies and some of my mother's doilies. And my mother taught me to crochet, assuming she learned to crochet from her mother, and it's kind of stopped at this generation. But it's fun to do, and I enjoy it.
Earlier in my life, not the last 10 years at least, or more than that, I would do very fine counted cross stitch. I decided to do the one of Old Town Lancaster because John was in real estate at that point and marketing the Old Town properties. And I thought, well, it'd be a nice keepsake. So it's very fun. I could never do it anymore. My eyes are not that good.
So this is a little piece of cordage that I made. It's actually Kirsten's purse strap. I made it for her. So I just harvested dogbane from the park. It's a plant that's a lot like milkweed, but after it dies, you can take the stalk and peel off the outer bark, which has very strong fibers, and then you just kind of rub those together, and you twist them in cordage. And so this is four strands. I learned how to do it at Lancaster County Central Park, but I really enjoy it. And I'm fascinated by the fact that as a plant, dogbane is not, I mean, an exceptionally useful plant, but after it's dead, it has a very, very fascinating and, a very, very useful plant. It's actually very strong for health. And it's just like from little fibers in a plant.
I have this M. I didn't make this, but when I was in junior high in shop class, I made a lamp. It was an M, had a base, nice beveled base, a lamp coming out. And I've used it ever since. And so I wanted to get that and bring it today. And apparently when we moved, I got rid of it, which in a fit of, I guess, getting rid of stuff. But the reason I bring it up is I looked for it and couldn't find it, and like I didn't realize how attached I was to this lamp, you know, like, how much it saddened me that I didn't have this anymore. So just thinking about how in our creations can be really personal, I kind of felt that losing this lamp. So anyway, any others before we finish up? John.
So I am a creative person, and I have lots of different creative, fun outlets. A new one is making earrings. So, yeah.
My maternal grandmother lived with us until I was 9 years old, and in her bedroom, I remembered she had a beautiful mirror picture arrangement like this above her dresser. And it passed to my parents, and then it passed to me, and I have it in my house. But that picture mirror arrangement is the background or the inspiration for these things, of which I've made probably about 20 of these over the last couple of years. So I decide most of the time it's a 5x7 print, but this is a picture of me at about age 5 and my sister at about age 3. So I make it, and then I call Weaver's Hardware. I make my frame, call Weaver's Hardware Store in Leola, and give them the dimensions for the glass and the mirror. And by the time I get there, in about 20 minutes, they have it all ready for them. So I have to bring it home and put it together. And so this back part can be taken off. If persons want to change out the picture or the whatever, you can change it from time to time. You want another bang?
This is a pot that I made in ceramics. It's a coral pot, and yeah, I had a lot of fun making it. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Just hopefully some things we get out of scripture and just hearing our sharing is three things from this passage. One is God is the designer, the designer, the recreator of our lives, to display his glory and the true potential of who we were created to be. And that we were created for these good works. It says in Acts, there's a woman named Tabitha, and she was always doing good works and helping the poor. You know, we can become known by how we display the glory of God. And then God prepared these good works of our lives in advance for us to walk into. Just the idea that as we may have had a design for what we were going to do. I think it's special to know that God has a unique design for each one of us. A common design to belong to Him and walk in His light, but also a unique design for each of us to shine His glory. So I'll send you with this word of Jesus. Jesus says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit," or do good works, "fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Let's go and be God's handiwork. Let's bear fruit, and fruit that's going to last for eternity. Amen.